His skin is white just like a ghost. Thick Irish roots and his blonde hair. And he sounds like a Chicago super fan. A music nerd with a collection of CDs from here to there. Yes, Andy Dare is in Chicago, interviewing and barbecuing. It's the Andy Dare Show. It's the Andy Dare Show.
Welcome to the Andy Dare Show. I am your host, Andy. Today we have a doozy of an episode for you. It's episode 171, and I am joined by Bruce Pavitt and Adam Farish of the new music tech startup called 8STEM. And it is a delightful chat. I've been a huge fan of Sub Pop for 25 years. They are the little label that went worldwide and exploded in the early 90s. And yes, if you heard of Nirvana, Soundgarden, Screaming Trees, even our hometown heroes, Smashing Pumpkins, were on Sub Pop for a quick minute. A lot of these artists passed through the label, and they've had nothing bad to say about Sub Pop. Sub Pop started as a fanzine, unlike our ill-fated Honeycomb fanzine. Subterranean Pop was started in 83 by Bruce, and they did about 9 issues of Subterranean Pop. It turned into Sub Pop, then it turned into a record label with Sub Pop 100 in 86, and he really caught the zeitgeist. The whole Seattle sound exploded in the late 80s and in the early 90s. And this is an awesome chat because he is kind of reborn again with this brand new project called 8STEM. And it's not been an overnight thing. They've been working on this for a few years. I am now a beta tester of 8STEM. It is on my phone. It is a blast. If you are any much of a fan of remixes, of taking music and twisting it to your specifications, this is something that you should check out. You should go to 8STEM.com, become a beta tester now, and they're working out the kinks, and they should be in the App Store by the end of summer or early fall. And I would highly recommend it. Check it out, 8STEM.com. And I'm a huge fan of Sub Pop. Obviously, I've always said I have no tattoos. If I were to get a tattoo, it'd probably be a Sub Pop tattoo or SST or one of these record labels that has really changed my life. And we talk about, you know, how internet has affected the regional scenes. There used to be a lot of regional scenes in Seattle, Southern California, Chicago, the Twin Cities, you know, the Southwest. All these things are kind of now combining in the, you know, in the post-internet world, social media world, whatever, what have you. But it's a nice discussion. Bruce was nice enough to open up and really discuss some old school Sub Pop stuff and, you know, to the latest news about 8STEM. So I want to thank Adam Farish, Bruce Pavitt, and everybody at 8STEM for hooking up this interview. It was a delight. And just so you know, I'm no poser. How about we play a bit off my latest album called Service with a Smile? You can find it at andydare.com. This is a bit called I Was Not a Lou Reed Fan, featuring special guest Jack Endino.
Yeah, we are recording a day after the passing of Lou Reed, age 71. Can you explain the influence he had on your recording career?
Pretty much zero in my case. I was never a big Velvet Underground fan. I was not a Lou Reed fan. So I'm really the wrong guy to ask.
Really, not even like the, I hate to bring the word up, grunge, but the way that they weren't really into polished sounds and especially White Light, White Heat? Nothing?
No, it never just... Velvet Underground never did anything for me.
Nice,
you know,
I get you.
God bless him, you know, as far as I can tell, he influenced a lot of people. Every time I hear The Strokes, or for that matter, Sonic Youth, I always think of the Velvet Underground, as well as a number of other bands. I mean, he influenced a lot of people from that that corner of the United States. The influence of the Velvet Underground pops up from time to time in other bands that I hear, and I always go, yep, they've listened to the Velvets. But it wasn't really part of my upbringing, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely more of an East Coast thing. Maybe that's the deal. You know, you're up in the Pacific Northwest. It didn't really hit you as hard as it would have if you were in, you know, the Bronx or something like that, you know?
It didn't really. Their whole shtick didn't really resonate with my life particularly. You know what I mean?
And especially that double album with Metallica. That's sort of a bad swan song to... to leave out with, right?
Yeah. I kind of avoided that one.
Rightfully
so. I'm really curious in a sort of, you know, car wreck kind of way. I've always been kind of curious about it, but I sort of know what it, I kind of know what it probably sounds like anyway.
Yeah,
so
what you're
whatever.
Getting into. Yeah.
Well, that was me striking out with Lou Reed. Actually, the rest of the episode was a lot more fun than that. He's a good guy. But, yeah, you can hear that episode at andydare.com. You can find my album full of bits, call-ins, me playing acoustic guitar and doing covers and whatnot. You can find that all at andydare.com. I've got a couple albums up there. And, yeah, I'm going to keep my spiel really short this week. I feel like you guys are definitely in for a treat. Check out 8STEM at 8STEM. .com. I think this thing is going to go worldwide pretty soon, and want to thank Bruce and Adam for chatting. And without further ado, my episode 171, The Paradigm Shift, with special guests Bruce Pavitt and Adam Farish. Much for checking out the Andy Dare Show. Today it is episode 171, and I am joined, beamed in from the Pacific Northwest. We got Bruce Pavitt. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yes, you just started. Well, you've got 8STEM. This has been incubating for quite a while. It's a new piece of technology that goes on your mobile device and allows you to remix songs from other artists and have them remix your songs as well. How long has this been a work in progress for?
Well, my friend, I met my business partner, Adam Farish, about 10 years ago, and we've been philosophizing about the future of music for quite a while. A couple of years ago, he showed me a prototype that was developed in India that kind of blew my mind. And at that point, I said, I want in. So essentially what we're doing is we are introducing a new music format. Now, in the 130-year history of the music industry, you could count the number of format shifts on about two hands. So this isn't just a music app. Certainly we have an app that plays the format, but we are introducing an interactive digital music format. When artists bring their songs to us, we break them down into 64 different manipulable parts. There's 8 stems or 8 tracks, and those tracks are further segmented into 8 sections. So when one downloads the track, you can mute, manipulate, distort, and reshuffle any one of 64 different parts to further customize the music. So that's the essential premise. We feel that we're entering an era of customization, and that a lot of people, especially millennials, are interested in customization and then sharing. So that's kind of what we're trying to do here.
Sure, I think you've hit a perfect point where the technology is finally catching up to the idea. And, yes, so I finally understood the 8 stems mean the 8 tracks that you break down each individual song into, and then that also gets split up 8 ways as well.
Yes.
Is it refreshing to start something new for you? Is there a little bit of pressure being that you are the founder of Sub Pop Records, or is it kind of like a nice people are already kind of familiar with your work, your previous work, so it's kind of a little bit of a step in the door, a foot in the door?
It's definitely a foot in the door, my friend, and that's why I own half the companies, because I have those relationships and that history. I'm not a technologist at all by any means. I'm a music guy, but I do have an impressive resume built over 35 years of observing alternative and participating in alternative music.
Sure, and I see you got quite a team you're working with. How about Adam? How did what is his part come into play with 8STEM? How is he helping out the 8STEM?
Yeah. Well, it's his vision. I will say straight up, Adam Farish is one of the smartest people I've ever met. Mm-hmm. He's also a super cool dude and fun to work with. So this is really his vision, his baby. He's able to talk to the. He can have relationships with our. He can have conversations with our chief technology officer that I certainly can't. So he's the visionary and the technologist in this situation.
And is it true you guys met on, you moved out to an island in the Pacific Northwest, Orcas Island, in the late 90s, yeah, and you met him, correct, on the island?
That is correct. Met him around, I believe, 2003, 2004. We were at a children's house fundraiser that's a daycare for kids. Our kids had been going there, and we just struck up a conversation, and we've been good friends ever since. And I'll tell you, if you're going into business with somebody, it sure helps to have known that person for 10 years. So we understand our quirks, and
sure,
we get along. And I will tell you this from my experience with Sub Pop back in the early days with John Poneman, back in the late 80s, early 90s, pre-Nevermind, keeping the doors open at Sub Pop was infamously challenging. Nobody thought that a tiny label in the middle of nowhere could help tilt world culture, but we did it on a $20,000 investment, but it was very hard. And if you're in a startup business with somebody, you need to be working with somebody that you get along with, because there's going to be times where there's no cash, et cetera. So
sure, yeah,
that's what I learned at Sub Pop, and we're kind of going through that with this project. Being a tech company is different. We can go out to investor. Excuse me. I'm sorry, one second.
Sure.
Okay. Yes, I'm being interviewed right now. Okay.
You have to answer your question at one time.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'm very sorry.
Okay.
Yes, he would love to talk to you.
Okay.
I'm very sorry.
Hey, no problem,
there, sir.
Yeah, so like I think you're definitely right, where you definitely have to have that friendship started before you go into business, or else it could definitely get tough. There's a lot of ups and downs, as you were saying. How about a moment where you realized, where it wasn't a year-to-year thing with Sub Pop, where actually we have finally, we can finally have some comfort now that we've actually finally made it? Was it with Nevermind, or was it a couple years prior to that?
I was definitely with Nevermind. However, I will remind rock and roll fans, Sub Pop fans, that in summer of 91, we had already laid off most of our staff.
Really?
We were shuffling into work, selling some, you know, a big day would be selling a box of records to a store in Tokyo and making $400, keeping the phone on, keeping, just staying alive.
Jeez.
Really, really hard. But two things happened. Not only did Nevermind come out that September, and we had points on the record, so money started coming in here, you know, after that, just prior to that, there's a group we worked with called Mudhoney, and I know some grunge rock fans are going to be familiar with that name.
Sure.
And Mudhoney released an album called Every Good Boy Deserves Fudge. We put that out a month before Nevermind, and it sold 100,000 records.
Jeez.
Which back in the day for an indie label, that was like having a platinum record for sure.
I think
of course, that got completely dwarfed by the 10 million that Nevermind
sold,
sure, but that also helped us out quite a bit.
Well, even 100,000, even in 2016, what is 100,000 records? Is that like Drake or something? That's pretty rare even nowadays, right? Yeah,
it is. So Mudhoney knocked it out of the park, and so we felt blessed. I will say, just from my own personal experience, that you never know what's going to happen next in a creative business like this. It is a total roller coaster, and you just have to have a lot of faith that stuff's going to blow up. I personally think that what we're doing with HSTEM is going to be huge. I think people are going to be blown away once this really gets out there. We're in beta right now, but it should be in the App Store 30, 45, 60 days at the latest.
Nice.
And we're just going to keep building it up. Right now, the music is more set up like a boutique label, where artists come in and we go, give us your best song. We'll break it down in this format. We'll add it. It's not like we're going to open up with 100 million pop songs.
Sure.
It feels more like a boutique label. But from these unique individual songs, there will be potentially thousands of iterations where fans are going, you know, this is how I interpret it, I interpret your song. And it's just a fascinating experiment, if nothing else.
There we go. Hello, this is Adam.
There we go.
Yeah.
Nice. It's nice to meet you too. I've been reading up on 8STEM. Really awesome idea. As I said, thinking outside of the box. This is actually my second conference call of the year. I had a Sub Pop artist named Eric Matthews in month ago. Yeah.
Cool.
So, brilliant songwriter.
Oh, totally. Yeah, completely out of his time, pretty much. But yeah, Adam, how did you? So we talked about you guys meeting on the island and starting a friendship before starting this business. I had a question for you. I saw you were an EDM DJ also. Is this the golden era of the EDM DJ where you don't have to lug around your crates of vinyl and go to bar like that, where you can remix something on your phone, right? This is amazing.
I don't know. It's hard to... It seems like anytime anyone throws that flag in the golden era of anything, the golden era seems to end abruptly.
You're right.
So I think that right now it's the golden era of technology so far, and also we're ushering in the golden era of creativity enabled by technology. So the golden era in my mind is where the bar gets so low that everybody can participate, and that's really exactly what we're going for with 8STEM and in this case. So I think the golden era is when artistic creativity becomes accessible to the masses.
Like, would you ever have guessed 20 years ago? I mean, even like being in touch with somebody from a band, you had to write a fan letter that went to a record label, that went to another guy, that finally went to a PO box, that went to the band. And now we just, you send a tweet, and 30 seconds later,
it's crazy, man.
Yeah. How is social media? Social media has definitely had to help the music business. Even though people aren't making that as much on the actual recording, it has to have helped with spreading the word about an artist or a band or a musician, right?
Yeah, well, there's pros and cons to that, because you have a filtering issue that pops up when you have so much content going out that Bruce uses this phrase, option paralysis, that tends to happen where there's so many choices that it's actually in some cases more difficult to find things that really speak to you and that find things that really speak to you emotionally. And so yes, accessibility has become incredibly easy, and there's tons and tons of content in terms of, you know, really trying to find the music that speaks to you. In some cases, it's become even more challenging.
True.
I agree.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, Bruce, I recently saw you were in Chicago. Didn't know you grew up in Park Forest. You were there.
Oh, my God.
You were there with Butch Vig, Kerry Brown, doing a panel for the SimFest. How often do you get out to Chicago?
You know, to be honest, I hadn't been back there in about 10 years, and I was a little embarrassed because it is my hometown. I grew up there. I spent my early teens hanging out at Wax Trax Records in Chicago, which to this day I believe is the single greatest record store I've ever been to. So Chicago had a profound influence on my appreciation for music. Sad to say I hadn't been back there for 10 years, and I look forward to getting back there a little sooner next time.
Yeah, how about a memory from the Wax Trax era? Were you in touch with Al Jorgensen or who?
Oh yeah,
Chris Conley.
Oh, yeah. Al Jorgensen. I have a lot. I knew Al Jorgensen. I could share many anecdotes, but I don't think they're ready for prime time. I don't think I can really share that publicly. But it was an interesting time for sure. And I will say that the punk new wave era of the late 70s, early 80s was just an incredibly creative time. And the excitement that I felt going into Wax Trax, every single week there'd be a new single by the Buzzcocks or Echo and the Bunnymen or Joy Division or the Slits or the Clash or Elvis Costello. And I still look at that era as an incredible golden age of rock and roll. And Wax Trax really brought that to life for me, because they had access to every import that was coming in. Typically, there were a number of clubs like O'Banion's and Cuts that you could go and see some bands. Boy, I have a lot of anecdotes, but they're all more on the punk rock tip. And
gotcha.
Every time, there's a number of memories coming to mind. Like, no, I don't know if I want to share that one, but
no.
Trust me, it was a creative period, and it was very exciting.
Well, it's definitely an era where the dance music brushed shoulders with the punk rock, brushed shoulders with the alt rock, gothic stuff.
Yes.
Everybody partied
together.
Especially, right?
especially in the early 80s when Wax Rock started to champion industrial dance rock, which nobody was really doing at the time. That's when they, you know, segued into a label as well. That's that had a big influence on Chicago. Certainly had an influence on Ministry, ultimately an influence on Nine Inch Nails, the whole kind of industrial music scene.
Sure.
Flowed out of the Wax Tracks aesthetic.
I've got a loaded question. Answer it how you will. Sub Pop, how did the music turn to mostly a grunge, more of a garage rock affected sound in kind of eschewing the dance music? I know Steve Fisk released a lot of electronic stuff on there. As we said, Eric Matthews was playing around with orchestrations and, like, you know, ornamental instruments on his recordings and stuff like that. Was there a push to be more garage rock centric, or was this just the group of friends you were rolling with at the time?
Well, it was, yes, a group of friends I was rolling with at the time. But what you have to realize is that I see, like, two different models for great record labels. I'll just get philosophical here.
Okay.
One model would be Motown. You have a regional and aesthetic focus. Everybody knows Motown. This is what it's going to sound like. Or the other model would be, like, Rough Trade Records, who really had their heyday in the late 70s, early 80s, where every time they put out a record, you had no idea what it was going to sound like. You know, it was going to be like Stiff Little Fingers,
sure,
or Young Marble Giants. You
or
know
the
what I mean?
Smiths.
And or the Smiths, you know, and I really love both approaches. And to me, those are both great record labels. And initially when I was doing the Sub Pop cassettes and I put out the Sub Pop 100 compilation, it was all about diversity of region, diversity of style. But in 86, once I heard the Deep Six record compilation, it really sank in. Like, you know, there is a vibe, there's a specific vibe that's happening in Seattle, and I want to switch over from a Rough Trade model more to a Motown model. I want to focus on what's going on in Seattle. I want to focus on this sound. I want to work with Charles Peterson providing the visual cues, visual graphics, and Jack and Dino for the production. And so we got super focused on the Seattle sound and grunge and everything else. And it was a pretty smart marketing move, because within a few years, you could be walking the outback in Australia and people would go, oh, Seattle?
Nice.
I've heard of Soundgarden. You know, it was pretty
sure.
mind-blowing.
Well, that's beautiful.
But you can only do that for so long. So post-grunge, we kind of went the other way and started diversifying regionally and so forth. So there's these two different models, and they're both kind of interesting. So we played with both.
Hey, was there a competition with K Records and Kill Rock Stars and all that up there, or was it more of a friendly vibe between all the different labels?
It was definitely a friendly vibe. Sub Pop released, as you might know, the last two Beat Happening records. So there was a K Sub Pop co-release. I'm old friends with Calvin.
Sure.
Love him. Incidentally, I just bumped into Slim Moon yesterday. He's the founder of Kill Rock Stars. Kill Rock Stars was founded in the same Olympia apartment that Sub Pop was.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
So there's some deep roots there and a lot of collaboration.
Awesome. How about one for Adam? Do you have a remix on the 8-stem that you're specifically proud of that you would want the most people to listen to or check out?
Yeah. I mean, I do this part of the cross-sectioning of various cultures that we're doing and putting this together. There's a lot of excitement around the collaborative aspects and crossing genres and cross-pollinating. There's one in particular that I kind of use for demos a lot because it has such a nice flavor. It's by a hip hop artist in Seattle called Silas Black, a very, like, just straight, really powerful hip hop tune. And we took it to a remix producer to make elements for it. And it turned from, you know, hip hop into a little bit of ambient music and then into just slamming electro funk. So
nice.
the genre crossing of those three genres together in the 8-stem app is really enticing and impressive, and you can get the feel of just the width of musical experience that you can have within a single song.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so I'd like to take this opportunity to kind of underline part of what we do, and this is kind of a traditional label function, is when a tune comes in, we then pass it on to a professional remixer to add other elements so that by the time the fan gets the track, There are all sorts of different elements that they can play with. And the fun part for us is the cross-pollination, you know, taking people from different scenes, putting them together on a collaboration, and then furthermore, seeing what fans do and how they interpret that collaboration. So that's the creative part.
That's really awesome. And another mind-blowing sub-pop moment was a couple years ago when I realized you guys were putting out the Shabazz Palaces album, which is Ishmael of Diggable Planets. So I thought that was a beautiful fitting, too. That's when I started to think, oh, wow, they're starting to really change up their whole aesthetic. And then 8-Step was the next movement. I got one more for you guys. I'm just very thankful for you guys taking the time out. This has been a blast, but you talk a lot about regional sounds, and I do too, and especially growing up in the 80s, you had the SST sound, Southern California, you had stuff coming out of Texas, you had Twin Tone up in the Twin Cities, and then you eventually would have Sub Pop. Has the internet crushed the regional sound, and is that such a bad thing?
Well, I will say that the whole regional thing is... It's still around. And the bottom line is, even though people are communicating, obviously, through the internet, and tribes and communities are being created on the internet, people still form their deepest relationships with one-on-one contact, you know? So sure. If there's a club in the city and people show up every week and they're collaborating and developing friendships, things are going to grow from that. And a dramatic example of that would be like the trap sound that came out of Atlanta, which is kind of dominating pop music right now.
Sure.
All roads kind of lead to Atlanta right now.
That's yeah.
So it still happens. And I will say with regards to 8-Stem, because our office is right here at Pike and Broadway, the heart of the most bohemian neighborhood in Seattle, there's a lot of creative people that flow through here. And I would say half of our releases are from Seattle. And I think indirectly, 8-Stem is going to help put Seattle back on the map again.
That is awesome. That's beautiful here. 8-Stem.com, they're in beta right now, looking to be in the App Store within a few months, end of summer maybe. Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah.
Really cool.
So, it's going to happen.
Yeah, follow them on Twitter, at 8-Stem. I'm sure you're on Facebook, all the social media platforms, 8-Stem.com.
Sure.
Be a beta tester today and throw your hat in the ring. Want to thank you guys so much for taking the time out. This has been a blast. Any last words, guys?
The whole artists around the world, hold tight. The community is coming for you.
Nice.
Yes.
So on behalf
of... It's a huge paradigm shift.
Yeah, awesome. On behalf of Bruce Pavitt and Adam Farish, this is Andy signing off for The Andy Dare Show. This episode of The Andy Dare Show is brought to you in part by Uncle Bub's award-winning barbecue in Westmont, Illinois. Family-owned and operated since 1997, Uncle Bub's is the real deal barbecue. A family-friendly restaurant open 7 days a week. Also, it's a full-service catering company doing weddings, pig roasts, luau's, grill packages, you name it. They have a friendly, helpful staff that will make sure that your party goes off without a hitch. Call them at 630-493-9000. Visit them at 132 South Cass Avenue in Westmount, Illinois, and UncleBubs.com. Hey man, I know you like grilling. I know you like getting those dark grill marks on your burgers, fish, chicken. And I know you don't want to just dry your meat out like you're cooking with a hairdryer. Why not get the Man Grate and click through the AndyDareShow.com's banner so we can keep the lights on here at Honeycomb Hideout Studios in gorgeous Westmont, Illinois. The Man Grate. This episode of The Andy Dare Show is brought to you in part by Record Utopia, a music lover's dream with thousands of vinyl records, musical instruments, and sound gear. They buy, sell, and trade. Give them a call at 630-963-1957. Visit them in Westmont, Illinois at 309 West Ogden Avenue, on the web at recordutopia.com. It's always a good, relaxed atmosphere. Check them out.
This Record has been a Utopia presentation of The Andy Dare Show and Dare Network. Copyright 2016. All rights reserved. Thank you so much for listening, and please do check out AndyDare.com for more info.